It's day three of Leeds Festival, and unfortunately Sophie's had to leave us, so it's just me, Frankie, riding solo today. But it's all good because we've got some great interviews coming up, and the lineup is amazing today. So we've got Dua Lipa, and I'm so excited to see her. We've got Sum 41, they're playing right now actually, so I'm about to go catch them, so excited for that too. And Pendulum tonight, I've not seen them in about 5 years live, and I'm actually buzzed. I was sitting in my tent today, and I could hear them do their sound check, and every tune they were playing, I know so well, so I'm actually so excited to go see them. And then Kendrick Lamar after that, so it'll be a great way to end what's been a brilliant weekend. I'm Frankie, and I'm here with Sunflower Bean. And when you guys are writing music, do you aim to inspire?
We don't aim to inspire like fireworks by Katy Perry or something. You know what I mean? I'm not like, I want you to be inspired. It's more like tapping into the consciousness. It's like, what are we going through that I think that people can connect with in a certain way, or that, you know, that I know we're off of. That is something that we occasionally, you know, write with the intention of, but also to add something to it, you know. It's what people and art, people are very smart, people are very intuitive. And when you're pandering to them with, you know, be yourself, they get it right away and they're like, I don't know about that. It's like you being yourself inspires people to be themselves, I think.
Yeah, and sometimes the music that, you know, inspires me the most is music that doesn't take itself that seriously. Like joke songs are sometimes the most powerful thing.
But I think one thing we also like to do is and this happens a lot at smaller shows, is like, you meet, even at one of the smallest shows we played in the U.S. recently, we had kids that drove from like a few hours away from Iowa, and a kid that brought his, like, the headstock of a guitar that he gets signed from his favorite band. And, like, you know, I sat with him and his girlfriend, who were starting their band together, and, like, talked with them about how to get it off the ground. I think we really, and I definitely really love to talk with kids about how to actually start a band and how to actually make it happen. I'd say that's a more direct thing that we like to do, because the more smart, cool, effing kids that pick up a guitar and want to do something interesting with it will make guitar music interesting, because it's frankly not that interesting all the time, and that's, you know, why it's not the zeitgeist of the moment. So we want to, you know, we want to make stuff that has a reason to be made, and is hopefully pushing things forward.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to somebody who's looking to start out in the music world?
I think one of the biggest ones is just find people who are like-minded and kind of, you know, are just down for it. That's like the biggest thing. I think we've lucked out by finding each other, you know, in the biggest way, that we're just, you know, crazy enough to do it, you know. And I think just finding friends and people you feel comfortable with and playing with, and just following that.
And what way are you guys similar, and what way are you guys different from each other?
I think we're similar in the way that we're all really hardworking and really focused. And as a band, I feel like we're really, really tuned into like each other's strengths and weaknesses. And I think we all do a really great job of trying to listen to each other. And like, we each serve like a very specific function in our group dynamic. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And going back even to, like, what I think we try to talk to kids and fans that are starting out about is, like, it's like what Jacob said, like, finding people. And also, I talk to a lot of girls and even, like, young boys and people who are just like, I'm not good enough yet, that I don't feel comfortable playing in front of people. And I relate to that. Like, even when I started playing with Nick and Jacob, I was really nervous. I had been in a whole other band before, but it's really nerve-wracking to play with people. But once you actually start playing with people, you get so much better, because it's so much more fun than sitting in your room playing by yourself. And you can learn from other people's strengths. So that's what I always say when girls and boys are like, I don't want to start a band because I'm not good enough yet. And then just start, and you will become good enough. And they'll probably embarrass yourself for a few years, and that's fine, because we're all embarrassing ourselves all the time. And
even and people who are really talented are embarrassed by everything they do. Yeah.
And you know, and a show, even when it's embarrassing, is just amazing to see people play music, and that's why everyone's out here today at Leeds in the rain, because music is the best. So I just tell, you know, just tell them not to be afraid. It's better to be out there. It's better to be out in the mix than at home wondering what the mix is like.
Thank you so much for having the time to chat to me, guys. Honestly, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm Frankie, and I'm here with Starcrawler. How was your guys' set at Reading?
It was good. It was a good time.
And what do you like about the British festivals?
A lot of kids come, at least to these ones. It's fun seeing kids having fun.
And how does it compare to over in the States?
It's definitely more muddy.
It's always raining.
I feel like the British festivals, like Henry said, there's a lot of kids there, so it's kind of more of a youthful, fun energy. People are just kind of being like stupid, having a good time. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And who do you feel listens to your music more? Do you think it is quite a young audience? Or
depends on where we play. I feel like it's kind of mixed.
Dads and daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what song would describe your guys' childhood, do you think?
Already asking the tough questions.
And I'll fire right in there.
I don't know.
The White Stripes, We Are Gonna Be Friends.
Oh, really? That is a good one.
Oh, yeah, she was 8 Mile.
Every white kid would choose 8 Mile by Eminem. I'll say De La Soul, A Roller Skate Jam Named Saturday. That'll be my childhood.
Do you feel like a lot of the tunes that you listened to when you're younger has kind of like inspired your music now?
Yeah, definitely.
Totally, yeah.
In what way? Like the lyrics or just the musicality?
Both. You listen to something, it gets ingrained in you at that age, so it naturally comes out.
Now, how do you create your music? Together, do you all just go into the studio and just start jamming, or how does that work?
I feel like we don't really jam on stuff that often. Usually, Henry will usually come to the group with like a guitar riff or an idea like that. Then we all meet each other in a rehearsal space and kind of just work it out, So, yeah.
And how did you all meet?
I met Arrow through some mutual friends, and we were playing music for a couple months. Then Arrow met Henry because they went to school together, and then Tim came in shortly after that.
Brilliant. And Ariel, you know, you're on stage, you have such an amazing presence. Do you feel like you kind of channel a persona, or are you just kind of the same version of yourself?
It's definitely a persona, a different version of myself,
And do you take anybody as inspiration? I've seen that you guys have been compared to the Runaways a lot, which I actually saw that, especially, you know, like some of the live acts, as well, the live performances. I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I love the Runaways, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Cherie Curry's stage presence. I like the Runaways.
Have you got a lot of new music coming out anytime soon?
Yeah.
I mean, we went to the studio and did some recording, so hopefully by sometime next year we'll have a new album out.
And the music that you've got so far, what are you most proud of?
Everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're happy with everything that you've done? Anything that you would change in any of the songs that you've done?
No. Everything is captured pretty perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
And do you ever do any covers on stage? Or is it mostly just your own thing?
We have.
We've done once. A couple of times.
Tom Petty died, and we are going to play Cow Jam right after it. We played a Tom Petty song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah. It felt fitting, you know.
Yeah.
And if you could go on tour with anybody, who would it be?
Ozzy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jack White? Yeah.
That'd be pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I'd say Ozzy, too. Probably that'd be, like, a fun tour.
And if you guys had to,
what about you?
Oh, me? Oh gosh, that's a good question. Who are I going to tour with? Well, I would probably DJ, and I would DJ with the Black Madonna. I would say, yeah, I would do it with Black Madonna. That'd be insane. And if you guys had an album that you had to just play on repeat, you couldn't listen to anything else ever again, what album would it be?
Probably like a Beatles album. scratch, you know.
There's this album that I've been listening to a lot for the past year. It's like this French jazz album called Cortex. And I found out about it because of rapper MC or MF Doom. Sample a lot from it. And that's an album that I've been listening to for the past like year. Almost like two times, three times a week. So as of right now, that'd probably be it.
Mm-hmm. What could we expect from you for in the next year?
Hopefully a lot.
Another album, another big tour, hopefully. Bigger venues, stadiums, maybe.
More kids.
Would you say this has been the biggest tour that you guys have had so far?
We're not on tour. Yeah.
Well, coming over to the festivals, though.
I feel like the one that we did in June might have been...
We did a lot of festivals.
Yeah, that was our longest tour in UK and Europe, and we also did, like, Rocking Ring, Rocking Park, but, like...
Download
Festival UK in Paris. So I think that was our biggest one as far as, like, looping all that stuff together. Yeah, it was massive.
Do you think that was the highlight, or do you have any highlights?
It was a pain in the ass, but it was also good.
It was all fun. Like, there was, like, ups and downs, but mainly it's just, like, you're just tired every day, so that's it. Just need to get sleep.
Well, it's been great talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Awesome. I'm Frankie, and I'm here with Sea Girls. Where is that name from?
The name is, it's a mistaken lyric in a song by Nick Cave called Water's Edge.
Rory heard.
He used to always think it was seagulls, but it's Sea Girls. It's like all the seagulls go down to the water's edge. And it was kind of like a sort of... felt kind of mystical, like what the seagulls,
yeah,
and it just started, and we liked it, and we just felt like it, there was something otherworldly to it, and we wanted to, that's what we wanted to call ourselves.
Thing is though, with your accent, sea girl could sound like seagull.
I know.
Do you get that confusion?
If I'm honest, like, yeah, it happens a lot, but that's fine, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's good though.
Because when you do that, you're talking about it more as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a point, you know, it's a conversation starter.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what they're called.
Yeah,
you know, let's
exactly
go see them. And
let's
then
go see the seagulls.
And it's
I mean, maybe it doesn't help if you're trying to type us in. You just get, like, lots of articles about seagulls stealing chips out of people and, like, you know, shitting on shop fronts and stuff. I don't know.
But your, like, Twitter and Facebook handle, Sonic Seagirls.
Yeah.
What is the Sonic coming from?
Seagirls was taken. So
yeah.
Sonic Seagulls. Felt like the next best thing.
It's the sound of seagulls,
yes,
I guess.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Because we do music, so, yeah.
And you guys used to come to Leeds when you were younger, and
yeah,
I was told that you said next time you're here, you're going to play.
Yeah, that was in 2012.
Here we are.
That's mental.
We came here every year. This is like where we...
At the time, we didn't have this band, and it maybe felt like
a
joke.
Yeah, we didn't even have the band.
Turns out
yeah
that
yeah
it's true.
Yeah. But we used to come here. We came here for like 5 years in a row. We got our GCSEs here.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of did our growing up here.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing like all the cool bands. We watched Kings. I remember the first year I came and watched Kings of Leon,
yeah,
and then Famous Town. That's pretty cool to be on the same bill. And yeah, it's just weird. You should set goals like that more often.
Yeah.
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 And 6 years is quite a short period of time as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, especially, yeah.
Because then you didn't even have a band at the time.
Yeah, exactly. We were just friends, yeah.
So you've known each other all your lives?
We've known each other since school.
Yeah, since we were like 13.
They were in the year above me at school. And they were the cool guys doing music in the year above, so I sort of gravitated towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I saw a photo from Reading, crowd surfing.
Yeah.
Right?
That was cool, crowd surfing, crowd singing.
That's insane.
That was cool.
Do you guys do that a lot?
We try to, but, like, no, not a lot. It's just got to feel right.
Mm-hmm.
I quite often like to get in the crowd and, like, bounce with the crowd, but it was so tight at Reading, I was like, I'm going to have to go on top. I'm going on top, so...
You crowd surf playing the guitar in Manchester.
Yeah, I did that. That was awesome.
That was cool.
Yeah.
That was,
that was my first crowd surf, and it was the outro to Heavenly War, and I was like, let's fucking do this. And just launched myself backwards.
I just looked up, and I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, guitar's quite an expensive piece of equipment. Like, what's somebody dropped
mine's
to?
Mine's
around like it's...
I've got one guitar that, like, I just... Like, some of our songs, it's like they're also like upbeat and kind of like I just get into it so much. I just want to chuck my guitar on the floor, so I do that a lot. Like,
yeah.
But I tell you what, they're pretty good, well made guitars. I'm pretty
yeah,
happy.
Yeah.
You know. And you're about to go on tour very soon, headline tour.
We're going in October, which is sick.
Great.
We're going all over the country.
Yeah. We're visiting places we played, going to new places. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're going to be playing like loads of new tracks. Tracks for the album, maybe new tracks that won't go on the album. Like, just we're just going to have loads of fun with it, and just all the writing we've been doing and will do, we're just going to take out on tour, and it's just really exciting.
What place are you most excited to visit?
I
Gosh. Probably a new place, like we've never been to Sheffield and we're playing.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go back to Glasgow because that was the last night of the tour.
That's true, yeah.
And that there was something that I felt quite emotional that night, just knowing, just like they were just so nice to us. I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. You know, the crowd was just so low. But
the furthest we played from
home well, and was... the fact that people travel from all over to come see us at that show as well, and it meant a lot. And just to play that venue again, it's such a great venue.
What's the venue?
King Tutswawa.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, it's a great venue.
Going back there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think also playing Scala, that was a dream venue for us to play. Mm-hmm. Like I've always dreamed of playing
it. It always seemed like a ridiculous
like
thing. We'd be like, oh, we really want to play here one day, but obviously not because it's a big old place. But
and then we get to play that.
Now we're doing it.
That's brilliant.
So it's, it's a special time.
Yeah. So you set that goal 6 years ago. What about next 6 years?
Next 6 years,
we just want to keep... 6 years, that's a long time.
6 years, I hope we're headlining, but, you know... Who knows? And as long as we're still making music that people connect with, I don't really care. Like, it's almost like if we can tour and we can go on tours every year and we get to keep writing songs that mean stuff to us and performing it, that is it. So I just hope we can make a living off it.
Still be doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
Well, I definitely think you will be.
Thank you. That's
honestly,
very
it's been
kind.
Great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Oh, shall I say there's a new single out?
Let's do it.
And we've also got a new single out soon called All I Want to Hear You Say, and it's pretty like it's a banger. It's a strong sounding
emotional
song, emotive song, and that's really exciting to get out. And, yeah,
that was me chatting to the guys from Sea Girls, and I'm about to talk to Joe from Black Peaks. I'm Frankie, and I'm here with Joe from Black Peaks. How are you?
Pretty good.
And you played on, was it Saturday or was it Friday that you played at Reading?
We played yesterday at Reading. It was awesome, actually.
Really?
Sunny and just, yeah, we never have, like, these huge expectations that we're going to have people coming to watch us, especially at somewhere like Reading where there's such a, like, diverse mix of music. We kind of assume people would be more interested in seeing other things. But we walked out on stage yesterday and there was tons of people. So
that's insane.
So hyped.
And Black Peaks, you guys used to be called Shrine.
Yes.
So what was with the name change?
There was another band called The Shrine or something, and they wanted a lot of money for the copyright. And we didn't realise they existed, so we no one knew who we were anyway, so we were like, we might as well just change our name for the sake of it. And also, we did a short tour in Spain, and... They one of the shows, they'd done some press in a newspaper, and they'd put a picture, it was for our band, but they'd put a picture of the other Shrine in there, and it's like this big burly dude with like long frizzy hair,
yeah.
And I was like, do you know what, like, we may as well just like cut our losses and change it now before it's just going to cause us loads of punishment.
And why Black Peaks?
We went through so many different names, and Black Peaks was... ended up looking at a bunch of different volcanoes and just weird shit, and we just kind of wanted something like...
Black Peaks.
That was just the first thing we saw.
Yeah.
And it kind of just became us after that.
And you guys are all from Brighton?
Yes. Well, kind of. Dave, our new bass player, is from, like, around Bristol.
Okay.
He's living in London now, and the rest of us are in Brighton.
Yeah. But obviously Brighton's, like, a beautiful place. Do you base a lot of your tunes on, kind of, Brighton, or, like, does that inspire a lot of the tracks?
I think, like, our surroundings would always inspire some of the songwriting, but yeah, that's a good question. We always rehearse and write in Brighton, at a place called Brighton Electric, which is just like our kind of hub. So yeah, for sure, that would play into it if we're all in a good mood, because we've been about in Brighton all day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Your song's been described before as math rock. Can you talk me through that?
I don't really know. Like, we played a festival last week actually called Arctangent, which is a math rock festival.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's weird. Like, I think it's just for bands that play music in weird time signatures, and I don't really see us as a math rock band, but we kind of came from that, I suppose, so yeah, I get that as well, but I don't know how to explain it to you. It's just weird geek music.
Yeah, because I don't understand math, so I just thought I should ask you.
Yeah, I don't know, like... yeah, I don't know, it's just weird music.
What would you describe your sound as then?
I guess we're just a heavy rock band. We experiment with different time signatures and all sorts of weird sounds, but yeah, I'd say at the base of it all, we're just kind of a rock band.
And what bands inspire you?
Tons, so much. At the moment, lots of Tool, Perfect Circle, Mastodon, Deftones, Mars Volta. That's kind of it.
Have you managed to see quite a few bands whilst you've been at Reading and Leeds?
No, we're so busy. We're either chatting to you, or we're playing, or we're eating. We saw Dua Lipa yesterday. That was kind of cool.
Amazing.
Yeah. So a friend of ours plays guitar in Dua Lipa at the moment, so we went and watched some of that, and it was sick. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
And what have you got planned for the rest of the year?
So we're heading out on tour in the start of October to promote the new record, and that takes us right through to the end of the year. And then next year we're just gonna tour for the next couple of years. So we got the record coming out on October 5th.
And how was the process writing that record?
Long.
Really?
Yeah, like 2 years long, really long. We've given everything to it, and like we wrote like 30 or 40 tracks for the album, and have condensed that down to 9 songs.
So how did you manage to condense it?
Oh, we're just really harsh on ourselves. We end up just throwing loads of stuff out. That's like, we want everything we do to be the best thing it can be. So we chucked a lot of it away. You know, so it might resurface in other things at some point, but yeah, for now it's just that album.
And the lyrics as well, did you have to like get the songs that you talked, did they have lyrics too?
Some of them was just music. Like some of them were just like half songs and riffs and bits and bobs. But yeah, others were like full songs, so we just chopped and got rid of them.
And how has this changed from your sound when you started right back in 2012?
I think it's always evolving. Like the more we play together, we've been playing together for about 6 years now, and I think like you develop a, I don't know, just like you kind of gel with each other more. Like the more we just spend time together, even in a van on tour, like the more we keep playing music, it's getting better and better. So yeah, and with that it just evolves and changes.
Thanks so much, Joe, it's been great talking to you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I'm Frankie and I'm here with Eldra Brooke, aka Alex. How are you, honey?
I'm very good, how are you?
Great, I just saw your set. That was insane. To be honest, I didn't actually realise that you sang during your set. So I knew that you sang, I knew that was your vocals for the Cola song, but I didn't realise that you would do it live.
Yeah, I think to be fair, a lot of people don't realise, because like a lot of it is production based, but I'm a producer as well.
Of course, yeah.
So I produce all the songs, and then yeah, I am pretty much singing the whole time, so yeah.
And then you're mixing at the same time?
Yeah, mixing, like triggering stuff live. I'm playing keys, I'm playing like a drum machine. I'm doing it all. I'm a one-man band.
Yeah, do you often have like DJ sets as well?
No, I don't actually DJ.
You don't DJ at all?
I don't DJ under Elderbrook. No, I haven't for a while now.
And how come? Is that just a choice? You prefer to do the live
music? I think the direction of the music itself lends itself to a live performance rather than DJing, because it's a lot of it is like singer-songwriter kind of stuff rather than just house records or anything like that.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like I've been on a house record or two, but
well, maybe one of the biggest ones last year, but
yeah.
And you started doing indie stuff like before any of the kind of electronic music.
Yeah, I think like when I first got into music, it was in an indie band. Just me and a couple of friends from school, then we did doing that for a couple of years. Probably like Arctic Monkeys, Kings of Leon style,
really?
Indie, like the Strokes kind of stuff. I started recording myself just on my own. And then I realised that once you've got a computer in front of you, you can do like a whole lot more than just the guitar and vocals. And then eventually it kind of got round to being full on electronic music.
Yeah. And you've used some really strange samples. You've come up with weird ones. Like, what's the strangest one that you've come up with?
In the very early days, one of the strangest ones was, so when you have a hot coffee and you drop a little cube of ice into it, it makes this amazing like crackling sound.
Yeah.
And I don't like my coffee too hot, so I do that every morning. Anyway, long story short, I like the sound that makes. It makes like a crackling sound. And I recorded that and put it in one of my first releases, Could.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And where's the best place you've ever played?
Come on, that's so difficult.
Well, okay, the best place you've played this year then.
So within the year, I played in an abandoned... so many abandoned things actually. It was an abandoned an airfield. It was an airbase. Yeah, it was an airbase in Palm Springs, in just outside of Los Angeles.
There's
an abandoned airbase. It was turned into a museum.
Okay.
But for this festival, they took it over, and I was playing in front of like a World War II bomber. Like, it was very, very weird. I when I first started out, I never thought I'd end up playing my songs in front of a World War II disused bomber.
And what was your goal when you started out?
To not have a real job.
That's absolutely fair enough. But is it something you always wanted to get into, music?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah. It's the only thing that I could really do, to be honest. So, uh-huh.
So was there not a thought in your mind that you'd do something else?
I mean, to be fair, having said that, I do love video editing, which is a very strange thing. I think if I wasn't doing music, it would definitely be video editing. I can do that.
What's the best night out for you? What would be your best night out?
Best night out? Uh-huh. Probably just a lovely dinner.
A dinner?
I like a nice dinner.
And have you got a lot of plans for the rest of the year?
Yeah, the rest of the year, I guess I've got this tour coming up in the US, my biggest US tour yet, mm-hmm. where I'm going to, I guess it's lasting like 3 weeks, and then playing my biggest headline show in London on the 24th of August. Which will be good at Heaven.
That's insane. But,
that'll be good. It'll be good. It's good to go back there as well, because last time I was there, I was supporting Rufus Dassault.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Rufus?
Rufus Dassault, yeah. I've never met him personally, however.
Amazing guys. They are the nicest Australian people you will ever meet. But I just came off tour with them in the US.
Uh-huh.
But I'm now doing my own one in
That's brilliant.
In Heaven, yeah.
Are you doing anything on Halloween?
Halloween is currently empty as it stands. Do you know what? I've been doing shows the last three Halloweens. It's been so long since I've dressed up.
What? You don't dress up during your sets? Oh, come on. You have to. This year, if you do something.
All right,
Halloween.
I promise you, this year, if I do a set on Halloween, I'll be dressed as something.
Something. Something good.
Something good. I will be a gem skeleton.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I promise you.
I'm going to look
for it. If I do a set, I will be a gem skeleton.
Gem skeleton. But it's been amazing talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.